Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, we're going to read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 1, you join me on verse 2, and we'll alternate through the passage that way. Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to give you the title to my sermon. We'll read the scripture, I'll pray, we'll have a special, and then I'll preach. I want you to not get so focused on the title. I don't usually do this, but I tried to think of something catchy for a title. And I want to capture your attention with the title for a moment. I call it Thank God, Thank the Devil for the Gospel. Thank the Devil for the Gospel. Some of you are looking at me like, "What are we gonna? There's no snakes. We're not going to handle any, all right? We're not getting into that garbage." But I'll show you what I mean here in just a moment. Luke chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and the captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. And let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the words of God. Lord, thank you that these are your words and not our words. These are not man's words. These were your words written before man was created. Lord, may we rightly divide them today. May we forget church tradition. May we forget what man's philosophy, man's ideas, and even to some degree man's preaching has said about it. May we take you and your word for face value. May each and every individual listen carefully. Our eternity is based on it. I pray that you'd help us today in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I need your attention very strictly this morning. Those of you that tend to wander, those of you that tend to piddle with your phone or whatever you've got in your lap, today's not the day. I need your attention. It's going to take me about 6 or 7 minutes to lay the foundation. If you'll give me that 6 or 7 minutes, I think I'll be able to keep your attention. I'm going to show you something that if you're not careful, you'll misunderstand. You'll misquote. You'll not even begin to believe, but you've got to have the foundation for me to be able to present this truth. Here in Luke 22, Jesus and the disciples have finished the Passover meal. Little did the disciples realize that Jesus was just hours away from fulfilling what Passover was all about. See, the Passover was the broken bread and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it was to picture. Jesus was about to go to Calvary and illustrate it in person. You see, he was going to die as their lamb, but he was going to resurrect as the high priest. And he was but 72 hours from the resurrection. By the way, the Catholics can't count. Jesus did not die on Friday and resurrect on Sunday. There are not 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday. Everybody doing all right? So just thought I'd let you know that. Between Passover meal and Calvary, though, there was a lot to take place. There was much to happen in a short amount of time. One of those things was Judas Iscariot was going to betray Jesus himself and deliver Jesus to the religious and political leaders of the day. I want you to notice it talks about the priests and the captains. That is the political realm and the religious realm that were all fighting Jesus. These were the denominationalists and the government. They both wanted Jesus dead. Now we start entering into the truth for the day. I want you to see what God says. Luke does not say this. God says this. These are not the words of Luke. These are the words of God. Now, listen to me very carefully. God said in verse number 3, "Then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot." It wasn't an evil spirit. It was not a demon possession. It was Satan himself entering Judas Iscariot. I'll read two other verses to you. You need not turn there, but John chapter 13, verse number 2. "And supper being ended," in reference to Passover, "and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Now we've gone from Satan to the name devil. And in verse 27 of the same chapter, John chapter 13, it said, "And after the sop, Satan entered into him." I want you to notice that Satan himself entered Judas Iscariot. Now, that old nasty devil himself empowered and embodied Judas to have Jesus killed. Just like when a person trusts Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God moves into him, Judas was lost. Judas was not saved. Judas was the son of perdition. And Judas would, in just a few hours, go out and hang himself and die and go to hell. The devil himself moved into the body of Judas Iscariot. You say, how do you know he was lost? Well, first of all, the Bible tells us. Second of all, a Christian cannot be empowered by or indwelled by an evil spirit. Can I show you why? Brother Stoltz, come here for a second. You're going to get to represent a lost person. He does it very well. A lost person has a body and a soul, but their spirit is dead. A Christian has a body, a soul, and a spirit, and their spirit has been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. And the spirit part of the tabernacle is occupied. A lost person has an unoccupied spirit. Guess what? There's room for demon possession, satanic possession. Have you ever been on an airplane and the nature calls and you got to either go to the front or the back of the plane and you're looking at that little half telephone booth and you're hoping the little word doesn't say occupied? If that thing says occupied, guess what? You're not going in, right? Can I tell you something? The Christian has an occupied sign on.
That's right.
And the devil can't get in.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Stoltz. You're shouting now. Hang on. We're going to have a spell in a moment here. The devil himself occupied Judas Iscariot. Now, let me say right here, demonic powers, demon possession, witchcraft, and the underworld are real.
Right.
It's not to be played with. It's not to be trivialized. It's not to be turned into science fiction like Harry Potter. It's not to be turned into cartoons and video games. It's real, satanic, demonic power. It's not cute and cuddly. It's evil, vile, nasty, and right out of the pit of hell.
Amen.
Now, the sermon. The Bible is very clear on what the gospel is. Now, stay with me for a moment here. The gospel is this. It is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It is the sinless life, a perfect sinless life of Jesus Christ. It is his shed blood at Calvary. It is his death. It is his burial. And it is his resurrection. All of those things make up what it takes for someone to get to heaven. That was the price that needed paid for you and me to keep our carcass out of hell. It takes the virgin birth, the sinless life, the shed blood, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of a perfect, sinless lamb. That was Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. That's what it takes for you and me to go to heaven. It's not a church membership. It's not getting baptized. It's not some emotional experience. It's not flipping and flopping on the ground saying, I got it, I got it, I got it. It's not speaking in tongues. It's not living a good life. It is what Jesus Christ did for you, and that alone that takes you to heaven. Now, according to Hebrews chapter 12, Jesus is the author and finisher of this plan. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Brother Mike, I'm about to shout. It was needed if man sinned. By the way, all men have sinned. So, Jesus authored a plan of salvation before man was created in case man sinned like the devil did. He already had it authored before man was created. You see, God made man to fellowship with God. And if man did what the devil did, now watch this, man's fellowship with God would be broken and could never be restored. And Jesus wanted God to have what God wanted so badly that he authored a plan of salvation, if man ever blew it, that man could get back to God. Now, let's change gears momentarily. The devil, Lucifer, Satan, that old serpent, whatever you want to call him, the devil, was at one time an archangel in heaven. According to Isaiah chapter 14, he was in heaven for we don't know how long, but he is a created being. He was one of the three most powerful angels. Aside from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he was one of the next three highest powers. You had Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Now, the sermon. Lucifer got filled full of pride. Lucifer got filled full of power. Lucifer decided that he was going to take over heaven one day and kick God off the throne. And he said, I will be God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like God. And God said, you're done. You have become full of pride, disloyalty, and sin, and you are now condemned. Now watch this. I love this. God created a punishment for the devil and his angels. It's a place called hell. Now, listen to me very carefully. That was created before man was created. According to Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, hell was created for the devil and his angels. It was never created for man. God cast out Lucifer and the angels that followed him. He cast them into hell. According to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, though, because man committed the same sin that Lucifer committed, man now is destined to hell without a penalty being paid for. God does not send people to hell. Man sends himself there. According to Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, God had to enlarge hell because man sinned. Now watch this. When man sinned, God's justice required the same punishment on man as there was on Satan. Man was and is as guilty of sin as Lucifer was. Now, we deserve hell as much as the devil does. God loves man so much that he allowed Jesus to author a plan and fulfill it himself so that man did not have to die and go to hell. Did you know Jesus and God love you so much? He did not come and die for the angels or Lucifer. He did come and die and pay the price for you and me. He did not author a plan of salvation for Satan, but he did author a plan of salvation for you and me. And that is called the gospel. Amen. Because God is eternal and Jesus is God, once it was authored in the mind of God, it was as good as done. Now, Here we go. Almost 4,000 years of history have passed. From creation to Luke 22. Almost 4,000 years have passed. If part of the gospel is the death of Jesus Christ, look at me. Why would Satan himself see to it that Jesus died? Don't you think the devil would have done all he could to keep Jesus from dying? Don't you think if the devil knew the gospel, that he would keep Jesus from fulfilling it? You see, the devil already knows he's not more powerful than God. He has already been cast out of heaven. He has already been thrown down in position. He's already been in hell. He's not bound to it yet. He will be one day. But he's already been cast out. He already knows God is more powerful than he is. Satan is not so stupid to think he now can overpower God. God's already kicked him out. Now listen to me. I do believe the devil's trying to outsmart God. Not going to work. The devil already knows that even in his inflated pride, he cannot beat God. Why then would the devil, Satan himself, play right into being part of the gospel? Why would he allow him entering Judas to betray Jesus, to have Jesus put to death? Why would he have done that? The devil knows Jesus is God. The devil knows that Jesus is eternal. The devil knows that Jesus' body dying would not mean Jesus would not exist anymore. You see, the devil knew Jesus in heaven. He already knows even if Jesus died here on earth, Jesus is not going to stay dead. Why then would he take part actively in helping with the gospel being completed? Here's why. I believe that the devil was never shown what the plan of salvation ever was. I believe that the plan of salvation may have been given before man was created and be eternal in the past, but I don't think the devil had ever seen it. You see, he did not know that he was about to be sucker punched. Y'all know what a sucker punch is? That's when you're standing there and somebody walks up behind you and clocks you and you never saw it coming. No preparation. I believe that God actually used the devil to kind of stick his finger in his face and say, nah, 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 nah. I used you to make salvation available to man. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. In the devil's desire and pride to want to destroy God from keeping man and God separated, Satan actually helped man be able to be saved by killing Jesus. May I say today, Mr. Satan, thank you. Thank you for making the death of Jesus possible. Because that's how we all have hope of heaven someday. Amen. I don't believe the devil thought he could hold Jesus in the grave. He already knows he's not that powerful. I don't think his pride got in the way of him thinking, well, I can kill him and conquer him and it's all over. Satan had already been defeated. Thank you, Mr. Devil, for making the resurrection possible by making the death of Jesus possible. you got played into be part of the gospel. Now, let me give you three big thoughts and we're done. All right? Number one, God hid the plan of salvation from the devil for almost 4,000 years. Bless you. When Adam and Eve sinned, the devil thought, it's all over. Did you ever think about what took place after Adam and Eve sinned? Did Adam and Eve's body die right away? But something did. Their spirit did. But something else died too. Watch this. The Bible says that when man sinned, he covered himself in leaves. He made an apron. Now, you ladies know what an apron is. It only covers about from here to about right here. And ties in the back, amen? It doesn't cover a whole lot. The Bible says when God came and found man in his sin, he said, Adam, where art thou? And then he said, what hast thou done? Then the Bible says God made them coats of skins of animals. Brother Mike, man had never seen an animal die ever in history. God took a lamb and shed its blood for each Adam and Eve to make them coats. How God did it does not say. I believe he stays consistent. But he killed that animal and said, Adam, look at that blood. That's one day what my son will do for you. He'll shed his blood as that lamb did for you. Hey, Adam, shake that lamb. It's not going to wake up. It's never going to breathe again. Boy, if you've never, and I'm a hunter. I respect animals, but I have a deer on my wall in my office, and I've killed a lot of animals. As I taught my boys to hunt, they'd be 10 years old, shot their first deer. I remember taking my boys over, and they'd killed their first deer, and boy, they were pumped. Yeah, look, Dad, look. You know, a little doe right there. No problem. And I'd say, fellas, is it ever going to stand back up? You know, when you kill an animal that's bigger than you, it's a little sobering. No. Is it ever going to breathe again? No, sir. Can it ever get back up and just start walking away? Better not, Dad. No. And I'd always say, what happens if you point that gun at somebody and that bullet hits them? They're not going to walk away either. Boy, it's real sobering at that moment. My dad will tell you, he's been out with my boys more than once hunting. My boys know how to handle a weapon, and they also know how not to point it at somebody. Now, may I say this, it's a little sobering the first time. It's a little overwhelming knowing you took the life of something. It really is. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not sadistic. Oh, bless God, let's go kill everything that moves. Uh-uh. I don't believe in that mess. There's a difference between a hunter and a killer. You know that Adam and Eve had to smell that flesh rot? Never had the stink of death been upon the face of the earth. God showed them that their sin caused death. It was real death. Now, once you take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 3. I got to show you something. I believe God took 4,000 years on purpose to reveal the full plan of salvation to the devil. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse number, as soon as I get there, 22. Galatians chapter 3, look at verse number 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. I want to show you something here. Those of you men that like to shout, get ready. Here it comes. Chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inerrant, corruptible, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Look at verse number 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow after, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wow. Notice the gospel was revealed later. It wasn't that it was kept from man. It was revealed to the devil. God showed man how to get saved. God showed Adam and Eve how to get saved. And people were getting saved for 4,000 years before Luke chapter 22. They were not saved by the law. They were saved by faith. Nobody has ever been saved by the law. The law was there to show them their need of salvation. They weren't saved by Old Testament sacrifices. Tonight we'll do the Lord's Supper. Broken body, shed blood. Old Testament sacrifices is the same as the New Testament Lord's Supper. The same. One was showing Jesus would do it. The other is showing Jesus did do it. But the devil was too stupid to figure it out. And God took 4,000 years to pen the Old Testament and the gospel. Can I tell you why? He was hiding it from the devil. He was hiding it from the devil. You see, the devil is not all-knowing like God is. His knowledge is limited. He is intelligent, but he is not God. The Bible was given slowly so that the devil would play his part as Jesus knew he would do. We talk about how much the devil knows Jesus. Can I tell you something? Jesus knows the devil even better. Jesus knew how long it would take for the devil to play into the plan of salvation. Satan knows Jesus well, but Jesus knows the devil better. He created him. So, number one, God hid the plan of salvation from the devil, not from man, for 4,000 years. By the way, did you know for 4,000 years, people who did not trust Jesus Christ as their Savior died and went to hell? And the devil was seeing people go to hell a little at a time. He thought he was winning. Took 4,000 years till he dropped his guard. And God said, for such a time as this. Number two, the big revealing of Jesus was not his birth in Bethlehem's manger. The big revealing of Jesus was not his birth in Bethlehem's manger. His big revealing was his resurrection. You see, his birth was and still is discredited. Who's going to believe a virgin had a child? It has never been done before. By the way, I don't care what the Catholics say, it's never been done since. By the way, Mary was not virgin born. Jesus was. Mary is not the mother of God. She is the human vessel and the body with which birthed the Savior, but she was not virgin born. You don't pray through Mary because Jesus says mama to Mary and obeys mama. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. His birth was and still is discredited. But may I say this, his resurrection brought credit to it. They didn't believe it till up from the grave he arose. His sinless life was discredited, but the resurrection brought credit to his sinless life. Let me ask you a question. How many people do you know who have gotten up out of the grave and are alive today? I've been to a lot of funerals. I was back there with Miss Sally and with Jeannie, and I've done funerals for their husbands. And I told Sally when just after her husband passed, I said, now, just so you know, if he gets up after he's dead, I'm out of here. We joked about it. I wasn't joking. Man, I've been in a lot of funerals. Do you know not one person has ever gotten up out of the grave except Jesus Christ? You say, well, what about Lazarus? Jesus called him forth, but Lazarus died again. All of them eventually died again. Jesus is still alive. Whew. So his sinless life was discredited until the resurrection. His death seemed final until 72 hours later when he conquered death. Did you know that the government was guarding the body of Jesus, not the devil? The Roman soldiers had a quartorian of soldiers that were guarding the body because they knew the scripture well enough, and they heard Jesus say that after 3 days and three nights, I'll rise from the dead. They didn't think that could ever happen, so they put soldiers there to keep somebody coming from stealing the body. They actually sealed the tomb and said, well, even if he does come back to life, we'll seal the tomb and he won't be able to get out on his own power. It wasn't the devil that guarded him. I'm going to read a verse to you. You need not turn there, but I'm about to take a lap. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 8. I can prove the devil didn't know it was coming. The Bible says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The devil did not know he was getting used to give us the gospel. I say thank you for the gospel, Mr. Devil. To you. I can't spell it, but I can say it. Amen. The devil was in hell partying with his angels. Ha ha! We killed him. We got him. He's in the grave. He's not getting back up. And Jesus said, hold on, fellas. Don't worry. Just give it a few hours. Let the devil have his fun for a little while. And then all of a sudden, on that Sunday morning, the earth began to tremble. The stone rolled away, and they walked in, and his bed grave clothes were not only folded, he wasn't there. Then he came back and started talking to him. The devil didn't realize he got used. Number three, and I'll hurry. The biggest battle the devil now fights is not the fact that that did not happen. It's proof. The devil's big battle today is trying to discredit the Word of God. You see, he can't take away the virgin-born Son of God, the sinless life, the death that he did for us, the burial, and the resurrection. He can't take those things away. He can't take the blood away from the mercy seat in heaven. The only thing for the last 2,000 years that the devil has been trying to do is discredit that book right there. The battle for 2,000 years has been over the Word of God. Now listen to me very carefully. I have about 11 minutes to preach this last part, and I need your attention. Did you know in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, that the devil tempted him three times? Do you know how the devil was beaten by Jesus? He says, Scripture says, it is written. It is written in Scripture. Scripture says. And Jesus, watch this, beat the devil by the words of God. Oh, here we go, Brother Mike. I'm ready to shout. Did you know how Jesus will take down the devil at Armageddon in the last days? He's coming back on a white horse. Written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God. And out of his mouth will proceed a two-edged sword, and he will destroy the nations of the world and the devil himself. And the Bible says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And in Ephesians 6, he said, taking the sword, which is the Word of God. The devil will be taken down by the Word of God. Amen. The Bible for 2,000 years has been under attack. Popes and priests say, you don't read it. You let us read it to you and tell you what it says. Popes and priests are out of hell. They are following the doctrine of Satan himself. I don't think you should say that. Then don't say it, but I will. Many people have tried to rewrite the Bible. You got the RSV, the NASV, the NIV. You've got the NKJV. You've got the Good News for Modern Monkeys. You got the Sodomite Bible, the HIV Bible. You got it all. You got the gender neutral Bible. And the devil has rewritten it so much to try to wear it down to where people say, well, which one is the Word of God? I can tell you, it is the King James Bible for the English speaking people. Everybody doing all right? The government and public schools have tried to kick it out because it's offensive. God-hating humanists want to be their own God. How is it that everybody else has rights? How about God? I'm sick and tired of everybody running around. Well, there's got to be a separation of church and state. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that. Bible says in the Bill of Rights that Congress shall make no law inhibiting free right and practice of faith. Amen. Term separation of church and state is government made, not God made, and not by our founding fathers. It's by the progressives and FDR and his little minions after him that have decided the government should be God and not God. The church is not supposed to run the government. No kidding. But the government is not supposed to run the church either. Right. Keep your stinking nose out of our church, government. You have the right to inspect our buildings to make sure they're safe. Yes, you do. You have the right to make sure we're following the tax codes according to the 501c3 status. Yes, you do. But you're not supposed to be spying on everybody either. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Well, we need to take the Ten Commandments away from our judicial system and our courthouses, and we can't pray before Congresses, and we might offend somebody. Well, doggone it, their bad doctrine and worshiping false gods offends me. Time we get a backbone, stand up and stand for what's right. The Constitution doesn't say separation of God and government. I'm sick and tired of religious leaders. Bunch of lily-livered, sissy-britches preachers that get up and say, well, Luke wrote here and Solomon is writing here, and the Apostle Paul says here, that is humanism. Paul didn't write the Bible. He penned it. God gave it to him word by word. Solomon didn't write the Bible. God wrote it before man was created and used Solomon as a secretary to write it down word for word. Go to the book of 1 Chronicles. You find out David didn't write the Bible. The Bible says God put his hand on Solomon or on David's hand with the pen and wrote the Bible. These aren't man's words, they're God's words. Well, I just think the Bible says, I don't care what you think, what does God say? Well, my church taught, I don't care what your church taught, what does God say? Well, I believe, I don't care what you believe, what does God say? We have gotten so much opinion in this, we don't know what God says. God is quite capable of saying everything that needs said. Matter of fact, when the devil was tempting Jesus, Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or we're all going to hell. Right there it is. Right there it is. You get a little excited. I'm wound up tight. I'm so sick of the devil having 2,000 years free reign. Somebody better expose what he is. The big battle is for the Word of God. The big battle is, are you going to believe what you've been told or believe what God said? The big battle is, are you going to believe the Pope or Jesus Christ? Big battle is this, are you going to believe church tradition or what God says in his book? Let's forget the formalism of religion. Let's forget the ritualism of religion. And let's take the Word of God, word for word, as he said it, accept it by faith, not with your opinion, not with my opinion, not with some man's opinion that wears a dress like a mama and they call him father. It doesn't matter who he is, what he is, or how expensive the hat on his head is. Quit trying to get to heaven man's way. Man's way is, well, I'll live a good life. Man's way is, well, I can, when I die, if the priest gets there fast enough, he can put a wafer in my mouth and read me last rites, and I'll eventually my loved ones can pray me out of purgatory and get me there if they pay enough money and pray hard enough. Filthy. Sending people to hell. I'm going to make a statement here. You paying it your way, you're robbing God. Why don't you get honest and accept what Jesus did for you? You are a filthy, vile thief trying to pay for it yourself. You might be an honorable person by being able to pay your debts, but you can't pay it for eternity. And you owe it to God because he gave it to you before you were ever created. And you are robbing him of the fellowship he created you for. I'll say it. Let's read the Bible. Let's read the Bible. Let's be around when the Bible's taught and preached so we can get from it, so we can learn and grow and be in better fellowship with God, not only in heaven someday, but while we're here on this old nasty earth. That's what it's for. That means we ought to be at church. Let's be faithful so we can fellowship with one another the right way and go out and tell others about him and bring them in so that more people can populate heaven with the truth. Churches are filled today with people going through rituals thinking they did their part for another year. God help them, they'll die and go to hell. A couple weeks ago, that pilot overtook that plane and crashed it into a mountain over in south of France. My wife will tell you. I looked at her and I said, probably 150 people burning in hell right now. Oh, my soul. I wonder if anybody had the gospel given to them. I wonder. It'd be a shame for you to sit through a sermon like this and die and go to hell. Amen. You will not hear the truth any more clearly than you've heard it this morning, I promise you. I hate the devil. You shouldn't hate. Well, I hate the devil. I hate sin. I hate wrong. I love people. I love God. God loves me. I've been hard. Yes, I have. I'm sick and tired of the devil winning. Somebody's got to expose him. Somebody's got to have enough manhood and backbone with the word of God and fight him. He's been allowed to have too much power. Guess what? He's not going to win out today. By the way, Jesus' resurrection proved that. Since that day that Jesus could not and did not fall to the temptation of Satan. Since that day, watch this, the big battle is over. Oh, that's just man's words, not God's. Man wrote that, not God. Because the devil knows if you believe that, you'll go to heaven. The devil was sucker punched by Jesus. Jesus used the devil to make sure you could get to heaven. Let me just say it this way. Why didn't you make the devil good and mad and get saved and thank him for giving us the gospel? Why don't you stick it in the devil's nose and say, I followed you long enough and I'm going to do what God said. I believed what some religious sect said. I don't care what the religion says. What does that book say? You don't get to heaven on your own. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us are good enough to get to heaven. This old preacher, 47 years old, deserves nothing but hell because he's a dirty, rotten scum of the earth, low down, good for nothing sinner, just like you are. I was born into sin just like you were. For as by one man, sin entered the world and death by sin. Not just man dying, those lambs. The death of Jesus. The death of creation, so to speak. The death of the earth. And as by the obedience of one, many were made righteous. God calls Jesus the second Adam. Wow. Why don't you quit trusting yourself, and why don't we just trust Jesus? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't have any doubt at all about that. Would you raise your hand? Now, don't raise your hand if you don't know. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, by the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. I won't personally come to you and grab you and do something weird. I would like to pray. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know that someday. Would you raise your hand? There's one, another, and another. Someone else, there's another. Some are small children, others are not. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the music will begin to play. When the music begins to play, if you raised your hand and say, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven, I'll have people at the front that know how to take the Bible and can show you how to know for sure you're on your way to heaven before you walk out those doors. Oh, it'll only take about a minute or two. It's not some experience. Not at all. Who would say, preacher, tucked away inside that truth? Wow, I needed something in that today, and it helped me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores and scores of hands. Folks, we don't have to be ashamed to tell others about him. We don't have to be afraid to go out and tell others about him. We just need to proclaim it.